Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Midweek Metagame. I'm Gabriel Nassif, joined by my one regular co-host, Canister.
Hello.
We have tons to talk about. There was a BNR announcement for all the formats, even though not all the formats were affected. But before we get into that, I'd like to shout out ourselves and our patron, Midweek, or patreon.com/midweekmetagame. If you want to support us, that's the best place to do so. You can also, you know, support Canister and I on Twitch, on our streams. That's another way to support us. But yeah, our podcast will always be free. But if you want to support us, now you know how to. Well, another week, another round of BNR, a couple of weeks after the last Pro Tour. And I think a lot of people were probably a little surprised, slash annoyed, disappointed, upset, whatever. So we're going to break it down. We're going to focus on Pioneer and Modern. And yeah, see if what they decided was actually that bad. Does it make sense? Does it not make sense? Could it have done better? So yeah, Canister, why don't you tell us what the bans were and, I don't know, just lead the way.
All right, so we've got two changes. First, in Vintage, Ponder is unrestricted. I assume you don't really have a strong opinion on that. Yeah, you don't. So neither do I. I do play Vintage occasionally, but it's fine. Like, the reasoning behind unrestricting that card is that it hasn't been played all that much, even in the one copy that was allowed. But, of course, the more important change and the one that concerns more players is the Modern one. Violent Outburst, the Cascade spell, is now banned. And that sure is about to change Modern at least a little bit, because it does take away the important aspect from the Cascade decks, which, you know, ever since MH2 were basically constantly at the top of the metagame, frequently reaching up pretty high numbers. Those Cascade decks being mostly Rhinos and Living End, with, you know, occasional appearances from Glimpse of Tomorrow or whatnot, but mostly it's those two, and now they will never cascade on instant speed. Again, that is no longer an option, which is probably a nerf to those decks. I mean, assuredly it's a nerf to those decks, but as we've seen in the first 2 days since the announcement, or even, you know, basically just yesterday, already 5-0s with Ardent Plea, Living End, and Rhinos are showing up, and it seems like those decks are not dead by any means.
Yeah, well, I think Living End probably takes a major hit. I think Rhino can use Ardent Plea. You know, you're already happy to play white with the ley lines, or even if you go back a little bit in time, the 5-color mana base was binding, and the +1/+1 effect of the Ardent Plea is sometimes relevant in the Rhino's deck, way more than it would be in Living End, I think. I think for Living End, that's probably the death of it. We'll see. If you look at the first few results, you know, you had, kind of funnily enough, Macwin Sasu 4-0'd the first prelim post-ban was Rhinos. Someone else has done that since. People have not been playing Rhinos a ton, and Living End even less. I saw just Lord Beers go 1-3 once, and 3-1 once was Living End was Ardent Plea. I think X-File 2 went 3-1 once, but you can't really use white mana in that deck. I don't think Solitude is viable. You would have to play some bad cycling spells, and you still wouldn't have enough white cards. I think maybe the one appeal would be actually Leyline Binding. Have that generic answer to a Chalice or, you know, card like Voidwalker, etc.
Yeah, so, but well, not using the white mana doesn't seem like a big issue for Living End. It was basically blue-green deck splashing Violent Outburst before. Now it's going to be blue-green deck splashing Ardent Plea. Of course, like, you know, we probably don't the difference between Oliphant and Eagles of the North is it's pretty big downgrade, so you probably don't end up playing the Eagles very often. But you know, the base of the deck is still blue green, so that's just a splash. And you know, what were the red cards that Living End realistically played? I can think of Violent Outburst and occasionally Ingot Chewers in the sideboards, and besides that, it's just all been blue green.
Yeah, there were like you could play cards like Bone Crusher Giant, maybe a Brotherhood Sense, Red Sweepers, Anger of the Gods to get rid of Janus Magistrate or other annoying problems. But yeah, I agree. You could just play a straight up Sultai mana base now. Just play the Ant and the Troll as your land cyclers and cast your Griefs more easily, more consistently, have slightly less painful mana base. So, yeah. Well, not really, because you still need white. Actually, I was thinking about a version where I think that's just me memeing, but where you just play Charless Agent as your Cascade spell, just four Cascade spells, but you have more room for cyclers. I don't think that's very reasonable. There's also another card that I don't think it'll ever be good, but I think of it as the Jerry T special, because in my mind, he was the one who played that card or mentioned that card. It's the Tutor, you know, I think it's green, green, white, instant speed, and you search your deck for up to three creature cards and put it on top of your library. I think it's something, the Conclave, something.
Congregation at Dawn.
Congregation of Dawn. So what you get to do is, you know, you get to put Agent on top, obviously, or maybe you can put a Cycling Cards first into your Agent, or maybe you can put a Solitude, you know, this way you get to play Solitude, but maybe you don't play four, you just play the one. I see that means you're not cascading on turn three, but, you know, kind of a cool setup card and somewhat castable. I don't expect that to be good, but...
That seems like, you know, going off on the deep end, because we have seen a few 5-0s here and there from Meninone or like a few other Living End players. Like, I just opened a decklist on Goldfish, which is just basically Living End as it was. It just replaces the red lands with white lands, replaces Outburst with Ardent Plea. And on top of that, there is two Teferi Time Raveler to help fight through counter magic a tiny bit sometimes.
They're not playing binding in the sideboard?
No, there's not even binding in the sideboard. There's like an extra Teferi and just regular cards, Mystical Dispute. Of course, one Failure to Comply, a classic Cascade counterspell. And besides that, Foundation Breaker, Leyline of the Void, pretty classic cards. Because if you think about it, being an instant, of course, is better than being a sorcery, right? Like people played Outburst before playing Player for a reason, right? But what really changes in those decks with this announcements, if you look at the opposition that they have to fight against, you are much worse against counterspell decks. Murktide or Blue White Control or anyone who puts counter magic in their deck is going to have a much easier time countering your cascade spells. And probably it's going to be pretty hard to resolve them successfully. But most of the remaining matchups, like, you know, you have Yawgmoth, we have Amulet Titan, we have Tron, even the Calm decks or four color decks, most of them don't run stack interaction. So, sure, your Living End is going to be weaker because it needs to happen at sorcery speed, which like has some other ramifications, and your opponent gets to attack first and they know it's coming, it's weaker against sweepers, this type of stuff. But in many matchups, structurally, not that much changes, in my opinion.
I feel like it just gotta add up. Think about it. No more grief in your draw step. No more subtlety, you know, Outburst to subtlety or spell. Even that one was, you know, it doesn't happen that often. No more free wins when you're on the play against Rhinos, right? You just go turn three outburst in their upkeep. They don't have a counter for it. That's literally nothing they can do. No counterplay. And I feel like, especially for Living End, I think it's a just massive hit. I think Rhino doesn't care as much because they're already kind of happy playing some white sometimes. And you know, as I said, I think the plea ability is more useful there, and they don't care as much. I mean, it's nice to have the extra blue card, I guess, for your force of negations and your subtlety. Maybe that makes up for a bit of the percentage, but I have a feeling we're not going to see much Living In anymore at all, which honestly, looking at it, it's not maybe that bad of a thing, because if you look at the stats we have, Rhinos was actually not a problem. I've looked at the last round of RC. Rhinos did terrible across the board, whether it's the domain list. I don't know if you saw those stats, but it's just abysmal. It was every RC, they weren't the biggest, you know, 200-300 players, but Rhinos, I'm not sure there was one RC where either of the Rhino versions had like a winning record, and sometimes it was closer to 45%. And if you also look at the work of Anaal Yahi, looking at Moderns, Rhinos was not especially a good deck. I think it was maybe even like sub 50%. It was neither tier 1 nor tier 1.5 according to them. So the Cascade Problem deck was Living In. So maybe, even though I'm not sure they exactly knew what they were doing or why they were doing it, or maybe they had the wrong reasons, but maybe it's not that bad, because you don't really nerf Rhinos, because Rhino can, you know, play Ardently pretty, you know, replace it with Ardently more easily. And you nerf Living End. Maybe it's still a playable deck, but I mean, I'd be willing to bet that it's gonna lose, like, you know, it's gonna be way worse.
Assuredly it is worse. Like, assuredly it's a downgrade, right? Otherwise people would play before, likely, instead of Outburst. But you know, I am kind of less, not as convinced as you on the assumption that like it's going to die off, because it's already is getting 5-0s in the new weaker build, right? Like there is just results for the Plia version. It seems like it's capable of performing. Of course, it's going to be weaker, but the matchups that are going to be hurt the most are the blue ones. And all of the other matchups are probably going to be roughly the same. Of course, you said, like, you know, no Drawstep Grief, no stuff like that anymore. But, you know, on the other hand, you get access to Teferi, which might be useful. And your Plia is now an extra blue card, so you can pitch your blue spells more easily at times. So I think in like non counterspell matchups, it really is a minor downgrade for Living End, while it's a huge major downgrade against anybody who actually does run counterspell, because of course as Living End you are relying hard on resolving your namesake card and not being able to overload their mana by going EOT, Outburst, untap, cast agent anymore. It's going to be a huge issue. I mean, also, importantly, Force of Negation will never protect you from counterspell anymore.
Like, what about, I haven't played that matchup in a while, actually. What about Living End against Titan, for instance? Isn't that important to have instant speed outburst?
Well, it is at times, but it depends, you know. It's a strong angle, but it's not going to make or break the matchup, I think. Yeah. It is strong for them to go end of turn oftentimes. It is going to be, you know, pretty rough at times when I get a Titan to my graveyard and they have to reanimate it. I get my first attack after triggering the ETB. But at the same time, you know, many games are going to be decided by Foundation Breakers destroying my setup or Force of Negation countering my ring. And then Living End is still just a strong follow-up to that interaction stopping me.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the ban, honestly, for Moderns, think about it a bit, are not that bad. I think maybe they could have banned Grief instead. They would have, you know, significantly nerfed Living End. I'm not sure what's the bigger nerf, banning Outburst or banning Grief. And Gore's Vengeance has been doing really well recently. If you look at the past month's data, it's, you know, like 5% presence and almost 55% win rate. The only deck actually with a higher win rate that's once again Anil Yahi's work is Azorius Control, 1.1% presence in the meta and a 57.8% win rate. So it's deck, then Goryeo, then Living End as tier one decks. So if you ban Grief, you also nerf that Goryeo deck. So I don't know, what do you think? You think Grief would have been a better ban? Do you have an idea of what you wish they had done?
Coming in and waiting for the announcement, I had no idea what's going to happen, really. And I was kind of surprised by the fact that they suggested that there will be a change coming, because we got like an announcement that there will be an announcement, and then there will be a follow-up ban list philosophy discussion on weekly MTG, which I watched yesterday, so we can like point out some of the things that they have said there. But you know, Outburst was a card that came up frequently in discussions when people like to bring up cards that they would like to see banned in Modern for one reason or another. And so, like, it didn't surprise me too much that it ended up being their choice. The Goryeo's Vengeance deck, I think, is way too new for them to take action on, given, like, you know, how quickly they seem to react and work.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, only really started popping up in the last month or so after the Surveillance from Mergers at Karlov and Manor have been printed, and before that it was just kind of like a deck that you maybe played against every month or so.
Yeah, it was not really popular at all, but I it's one of the decks I wanted to play at PT Barcelona, and I strongly considered and eventually gave up because the scam matchup was too bad. But yeah, I think the combination of printing Surveillance, which is amazing in this deck, you can, you know, if you get lucky, it's like 10% chance every time you surveil on turn one, just mill in Atraxa. And the downtake of scam in the meta is I think, what's pushing this deck forward. And it's just like hard to fight.
Also, one thing that I have heard about this deck is that it's supposedly very good against both of the Cascade decks. So it was kind of taking advantage of the fact that the meta presence of both Living End and Rhinos was so high, especially against Living End, where you can just put Atraxas into your graveyard and your opponent cannot ever Living End comfortably, because you have to beat that, and there's Solitudes too that end up in the graveyard. That's just really sounds really rough without even playing that matchup a single time.
Oh, it is, yeah. I can confirm.
Yeah. So it's kind of an awkward timing that, you know, we seemingly had that metagame shift reaction happening in the real time as Esper was strengthening its position and was becoming popular and winning many events during the past weekend, which then caused the Cascade decks to perform worse. And there was less of them, which was immediately followed up by the Monday ban of Violent Outburst. So.
Well, Rhinos did terrible, but Living End did really well. Actually, I played the Showcase and I was going to play Goryeo's Vengeance. And I'm not sure if I was right or not, but I looked at the data of the RCs we had this weekend, and Living End was just crushing across the board, and Goryeo's Vengeance was like closer to like 50%, maybe even below. So I audible to Living End. Who knows if that was right, but yeah, I think it's Living End needed a nerf. I think Rhinos, it was easier to adapt to. You know, one thing I did, for instance, is I started playing more Supreme Verdicts in my Omnaf decks, you know, to combat Rhinos and sign up Draco. I think everyone found ways to adapt, or, you know, just started playing more Living Ends, more deck that beat Rhinos, because Rhinos was just so popular. Another thing we didn't mention is that I think a lot of people, myself included, thought they would not change Modern, because even though gameplay is not my favorite right now, Modern's not the format I look forward to the most. We have Modern Horizon 3 coming in a few months, and I think a lot of people assumed they would just let Modern be and see what Modern Horizon was going to bring.
Yeah, which I think brings us to the weekly MTG stream that they did yesterday, and where Dan Musser and other R&D play design members gave their thoughts on how they want to manage the ban list. And the argument that he brought up many times during the discussion was the fact that the ideal outcome from a ban like this is that Living End and Draenor end up still being playable, but just what they perceived as the most toxic gameplay pattern gets removed from them. And honestly, I sympathize with that argument. I think it makes plenty of sense. And seeing, you know, the Living End and Draenor 5-0s in the past 2 days with the Cascade spell exchange just sounds like it is perhaps a world that is possible.
Yeah, I think that's a great goal. Where
you no longer get hit by the Outburst protected by Force of Negation the same way as you did, but instead, if your opponent passes the turn, you at least know that the coast is clear and there's not gonna, you know, five Strip River Winders will not show up on the battlefield at the end of turn.
Yeah, whereas if you ban Grief, Living End maybe gets hit a little harder, maybe that Gyros deck goes away, maybe Ragdos Scam goes away. Hey, I'm forgetting something, but yeah, no, that's a great goal. You know, keep the decks, if you can do that somehow, keeps the deck relevant, playable, maybe not necessarily tier one, while not, yeah, nerfing them to the ground and not banning too many cards, and then people don't lose, you know, people's cards don't lose value, they don't have to change decks, all that stuff. So, yeah, no, I think I'm not sure, what was the reception of the Modern bans in general? Maybe it was fine?
Of course, if you were a Living End player, then you might get slightly angry at first, but, you know, like, I have seen that in real time. I was observing Sodek first absolutely breaking down and tweeting some, like, typical Sodek complaints about Violent Outburst getting unjustly hit, but then, you know, 2 hours in, he's already building the Ardent Plea version, considering, like, what are the options to, how does he tackle the counterspell issue, does he include any white cards in his sideboard, you know?
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's a fun new challenge to have to build, but with, like, less resources and, like, restart a bit from, not from scratch, but fun challenge, and see how it all impacts the meta.
You know, even if as we said, the timing maybe was slightly awkward on that, with the Gorillas going slightly on top of Cascade past weekend, and Outburst kind of, it's a joke we've all heard, like, many, many times for the past 2 years, just happened over and over, so I think it makes sense. Like, I think it's, if it successfully preserves Rhinos and Living End as playable strategies, then I think the ban was great.
Yeah.
We'll see if that will happen in the future, like, if that stays true in the future, but so far that seems true.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's, honestly, they did a pretty good job. I'm not sure it was perfect. Hard to say, you know, we're not the AI, but no, it's pretty, pretty reasonable. Should we talk about the more, maybe, more questionable decisions of Pioneer?
Sure.
All right, so
Pioneer. Ahead. Pioneer, no changes, which is, you know, what some consider to be questionable, because again, at the last PT in Chicago a few weeks ago, Phoenix was certainly perceived to be among the, if not the popular, the most popular deck by most of the people, and ended up being actually the most popular. And it also had an insane win rate of what, 58, 57?
Yeah, 57.5.
Mm-hmm. Which is just really strong and kind of like unprecedented for like the most popular deck at the PT. Maybe Hogak was at the modern PT, Hogak was close to that.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe Hogak, maybe Kalblade. Not sure Kalblade was the most played deck at the PT, but yeah, no, it's unreal.
So the numbers are pretty unreal, but at the same time, no change was made. And, some people point to the fact that, if you want to win in Pioneer now, you should absolutely play Phoenix, and it's just straight up the best deck. It got slightly improved, but with both Sleight of Hand and Picklock Prankster, like, towards the end of the last year, and it's just, with Mono Green removed from the format has shaped in a way where just Phoenix is just really great with, like, a bad matchup against the Lotus Field deck, but besides that, that is just an incredible deck and gets to outmuscle most of the other opposition. And, in one sense, it's weird, right? Because its win rate is so high. But once again, the argument used during the weekly MTG stream was that Phoenix and blue red country / removal / like mid rangey combo-y blue red decks are just extremely fun to play, and many people enjoy playing the game that way, and it's just something that they want to preserve in older formats. That was the overall tone of the message that they were giving, and it does seem consistent with blue reds or just Delver decks dominating Legacy really at every point of time for the past however many years. It makes sense when paired together with the Preordain Unbound, which was, a random buff to Merktide when Merktide happened to not do so well for a period of time in Modern, and also makes sense with unbanning and restricting Ponder in Vintage right now to, help out those blue decks. Although Ponder probably fits more into combo like Doomsday than the equivalent Lurus blue midrangey decks in Vintage right now.
Yeah, did they mention... I was going to ask. Did they mention Amalia combo as, a possible deck being nerfed, or other decks in Pioneer? That's potentially problematic.
There was a slight discussion about Amalia in regards to the combo and the way it draws games sometimes, which awkwardly happened in the semifinal or quarterfinal? Yeah, of the PT, where Simon Nielsen was playing Heroic, and Heroic matches up pretty awkwardly against Amalia, in the sense that you can use the pump spells on Amalia to up its power over 20, and then the sweep the board effect doesn't happen, which means the Wildgrowth Walker doesn't die and just keeps looping forever and never stops. Therefore, during the game, then you have to restart play another one. So they ended up playing seven games, I think.
Yeah,
in a best of five format, which is pretty funny.
I'm not even sure. Do you know how many games Christopher actually won out of these seven games?
I don't remember that.
Because I know there was seven games. I don't know how many were draws and how many were won by. I don't know if it was like a 3-0 and then 4 draw. I have to go look it up, actually. I'm curious.
The 3-0-4, a classic match.
When you go back to the scorekeeper, where's your result slip?
Yeah, so Dan mentioned that during the stream. And they said that, it's a little bit awkward, but it just doesn't happen nearly often enough for them to be a concern. Like, and it is true, it mostly happens in this specific matchup of Amalia versus Heroic, and in most other games that you can that you will play, most of their matchups, it's pretty hard for the game to be drawn unless the Amalia player actively tries to.
Yeah.
Which, sure, they can, but like they shouldn't be incentivized
to do so. My understanding was that more generally, the Amalia deck's just not very fun to play against, and the patterns are not very fun, and it can also just kill you on turn three, which, you know, at some point was kind of a no-no for them, more than the draw issue specifically.
Okay, so they touched on the draw issue, and I'm not sure if they touched on the power level of Amalia too much, but they seem to be relatively happy with its existence.
Okay.
As a somewhat, it is a somewhat fringe deck, and Pioneer didn't.
I think it's mostly a fringe deck because maybe people are not too appealed by it. Going back to the Pro Tour results, I was willing to give, not attach too much credit because I'm still going to poke fun at the Rakdos player, but Phoenix did very well, but you also had just, 14% of the field, maybe even 28% of the field if you had blue-white players to the mix that showed up with a deck that was just straight up losing against Phoenix, And in Rakdos' case, losing abysmally. So I was like, is it fair to take the PT results? But if you look at just online results in general, Phoenix has just had a great win rate. Once again, in the past months, 55.5% win rate and 16% presence. That's a little less than at the PT, but still extremely high. Only topped by Amalia, which is why I was mentioning it, at 57% win rate, was 7% of the field. And then number one is actually Azura Spirits, a little higher at 57.7. Rakdos Vamp is the fourth deck that is in Anahal's tier 1 category, was a 53.5% win rate, 11% presence. So these are kind of the four tier 1 decks. So my question is, what do they need to nerf Phoenix? What data, or are they just fine? Because it seems like they're just cherry picking. They used, in one of the BNRs last year, I think they used, win rates as a justification. And since we haven't really had the right, I guess, to see that kind of argument, or they haven't really mentioned win rates. So are they just okay with Phoenix as a fun deck? I mean, I kind of agree. Phoenix is really fun to play, and I think it's pretty fun to play against. Some games may feel bad if they get really lucky and bring back two Phoenix on turn three, but that doesn't happen very often. And when you lose, you kind of lose, maybe a little slowly, and you do get to play. But yeah, what did they say, what they were waiting for to nerf Phoenix or maybe Amalia?
Nope. The overall messaging was just kind of pointing to the fact that the vibes from the data and they're going for, they're trying to perhaps optimize for a format that's fun to play rather than a format then that is perfectly balanced, which I think it's easier to, well, of course fun is pretty nebulous and pretty hard to gauge, but in some ways it's probably easier to optimize for a fun format than it is for a fully balanced one with how it always changes, ebbs and flows, and the outburst, a Goryeo situation, timing kind of happening again. And Monogreen was also mostly banned for being annoying to play against rather than having a dominant win rate towards the end of its existence. So they just seem to be taking that into a consideration. The data-driven announcement that we are talking about, I don't know if we are thinking of the same one, but it was in the standard format with Timur Energy and Monored? Is that the one we're thinking about, where I think Rampaging Ferocidon ended up being banned? That announcement had, like, you know, win rates collected from Magic Online that they posted in the announcement, but since then they just ended up not following that route.
It wasn't Team or Energy, it was more recent than that. I can't remember which one it was. I remember it was like something being over 55% win rate over, you know, decent sample. Maybe it was even the Fabled band. I honestly don't remember. I just remember that at one point, I think it was last year, or maybe it was older than that, but I think it was 2023. And
okay, of course, we also had the announcements where, you know, Inverter of Truths was banned for being a 49% deck, which I'll never forgive.
So did same question as for Modern. Did you have an idea what you were hoping for, what you think they should do about Pioneer, what bans, when people were asking you? You know, I'm sure you get that question a lot.
Yeah, but then I get that question asked in my chat, but then I banned those people for, well, I timed them out for 10 minutes. You know, the no ban took rule thrives. Like, most of the times when I play or when I stream, I try to build a deck or gain knowledge about the format as is, and I find that Bantok is very engaging and very detracting from that. And, you know, I might be trying to think, all right, how do I solve this problem with my Titan deck? But it's harder to do when lots of people are going to tell you, oh, the One Ring, Violent Outburst, Orcish Bowmasters, and Undying Evil should all be banned.
Yeah, I agree, but well, I still, like, entertain them a bit, but I'm in the same boat as you. I usually... You know, I always say I just play with the cards they tell me to play with and focus on that. And even though I do think it's interesting, you know, an interesting thought experiment to think about that stuff. And if that's people thing, like, I'm all for it. And maybe I should be doing it. It could be fun, but I don't spend too much time thinking what they should ban, what if this, what if that.
So, yeah. So for Modern, I didn't really have a vision of, like, what's gonna happen. Violent Outburst was, like, something that I thought about because it was just the most brought up. And then for Pioneer, I just kind of expected, well, nothing to change. I think I would have been slightly surprised if anything would have changed, because, like, to me, the messaging has been clear for the past few years that optimizing for, like, the player experience rather than the win rates is already happening when, you know, many decks that, even when I personally enjoyed them, they were complained about by, like, more people than some of the other decks, and, like, those decks that are just not as well received more frequently end up getting banned than the ones that people are happy with and that they enjoy playing. And just blue country decks, I think they just hit the highest. They're just the most enjoyable for the highest percentage of Magic players population. Like, just so many people enjoy that playstyle.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I'm not sure what I really thought about Pioneer. I thought they might try Nerf Phoenix. I'm not even sure how you go about doing that. You know, you see the mention of Treasure Cruise, which I think that would straight up kill Phoenix. I don't think Dig Free Time can replace it. Maybe Pricklock Prankster. That's kind of when Phoenix started doing really well again, I think, is when they printed that card and people started playing with Pricklock over pieces of the puzzle, even though there's, you know, some outliers, famously Golduget, who likes his pieces of the puzzle. And I wouldn't mind Amalia Go deck altogether. I think it's probably, like, you know, it has some pretty lopsided matchups, just really strong deck in general. It has a turn-free kill. It's pretty oppressive, even though it relies on creatures, so it wouldn't seem like it should be that oppressive, but it's just had a really strong showing at the PT, has a really high win rate online. It's also just not the most fun to play online. I don't know, is that true though? You've played Amalia a decent bit on Magic Online. Would you say it's just fine? I mean, I guess you do enjoy casting Colossus with a bunch of Amulet in place, so I'm not sure you can be trusted on that, but...
It's not too big of an issue to resolve Amalia. Like, it counts the life gain for you. So, you know, that gets a bit awkward in paper when you have to, like, add up the life, because then, like, you only add counters per spells, but you still gain your life per land. So that might get a little bit tricky, but on Modo, it just tracks it all for you, and you just have to click that, yes, I want to keep my return to the ranks on top of my deck, like, a dozen times, and once you do that, like, the combo execution part is not too bad.
Yeah, I played
at times resolving like all of the ETB live game triggers gets a little bit tiring when, you know, every creature you play, it's like your Prosperous Innkeeper and the Lunar Veteran both triggering, so then you have to stack those triggers, and it causes an Amalia trigger too, which then you have to like click on the card once again. A tiny bit annoying maybe at times, but like not to the level where it's unbearable on Magic Online, so I don't think it's a big issue.
Yeah, I only played against it once live at the PT. It was against Brennan DeCandio, and he had it like all figured out. He told me, okay, I'm gonna gain this and that and this. I'm like, okay, I trust you just telling me what the life total is. Also, I knew the life total were probably like not gonna be super relevant, but I personally, I wouldn't have been too upset if that deck went. I would have been too upset if they nerf Phoenix, but that's kind of a tricky thing to do. So I guess we will wait and see. I don't know. It sounds like they're fine with Phoenix just being kind of the best deck. I mean, a format always needs a best deck. It's obviously better if it doesn't win as much as Phoenix does right now, but if it's at least a fun deck to play and pretty fun deck to play against, you know, kind of a fun deck to try and hate out. There are cards. It's usually not enough. I mean, Rakdos is an example, right? They have Hearse, they have Goblank, they have discards, they have Kroxa, they can play, Shieldred. Lots of cards that seem like maybe they could be good against Phoenix, but none of it really matters. I don't know, maybe they can ban Crackling Drake? Is that insane? Thought about it now, but that'd be kind of a cool nerf, right? It's a sideboard card, it's not money.
Oh yeah, Crackling Drake.
You heard it here first. Ban a sideboard card from Phoenix too.
Crackling Drake joining the whole group of the Undying Tricks on the ban list. That's like the most sane suggestion on this podcast.
Only weirdbans.com. Just five head bans. Sorry, I'm just way too ahead of the game.
I think buying Crackling Drake would be, in fact, much prefer no changes to ban Crackling Drake.
All right. Well, I mean, I think I said kind of, you know, we went through some of the results, the data, the bans in Modern, Pioneer, current best decks, win rates. You know, we didn't talk about Vamps much, but Vamps win rate seems just fine, just a good deck. Not super easy to attack, so I expect it to stay a decent deck, and it's one of the decks that can go toe-to-toe with Phoenix. I think you're probably a little behind against Amalia. I think that was our testing conclusions, even though I know my teammates, I know at least Seth did okay against Amalia on day two. I think he beat it a couple times. We'll see what happens. I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to talk about this week.
Last thing I can touch on is that in next weekend, 23rd, 24th of March, I'm going to be traveling to Prague to play in the Legacy What's that? Legacy LMS.
LMS, yeah.
No, the legacy tournament.
Grand and Open qualifier is the main event. Commentary. I'm pretty excited about it.
I'm going to be playing. You are going to be doing commentary. I need to get my RC qualification for Napolis. I'm hoping to get it there. I'll be playing Titan.
Yeah.
And you
know. Oh, you're spoiling life on the line.
Yes, yes. So I guess like we just thought, okay, let's just skip to life of the line.
No, I was gonna ask you real quick since you mentioned. Do you have any new techs, new developments on the Titan deck? Anything you want to share? Anything new?
So, like you know, the bans of course make me rethink my sideboard and wonder about the effectiveness of some of the cards. But there is a card that I started running to combat the Goraya decks, which, you know, were so popular on Magic Online, you just play against them so much. And that card is Turn the Earth. So it's a 1-mana green instant.
That card is a beating.
Yeah. Green mana instant. Choose up to 3 target cards in graveyards. The owners of those cards shuffle them into their libraries and you gain 2 life. On top of that, flashback for 1 and a green. So for a green mana, you can counter a Goraya's Vengeance and the Grief Ephemerate deck, which is frequently going to rely on shipping your hand from Answers, just cannot touch it in your graveyard, so you still have it available to
So
you get rid of Vengeance.
They kind of need Force of Negation.
Vengeance targets, rather.
Yeah, they kind of need Force of Negation. Was it not a card they play a ton of? Yeah, that's really cool tech. I think I saw a tweet by Dave Inglis, who like maybe won an RCQ, was Titan, and then he's like patting himself on the back. It's like, oh, I pat myself on the back for adding Turn the Earth over one of the Endurance in the sideboard. So yeah, now that card, every time someone casts that card against me, when I'm playing these Reanimator decks, it's a beating. Even against Living In It, it can be just enough. That card's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's also like against Living In, Titan can beat small Living In, so
Even if
you can take all of the creatures, you can like choose the 2 biggest ones and the Grief, and then suddenly the game becomes very, very doable. So I recommend for everyone who's playing green and wants to improve their chances against the Esper deck.
Yes. All right. Not that I expect Living In to be super popular, but Living In, yeah, I feel like in that matchup, you have to Living In fast. You can't just give them too much time, so just shrinking the Living In for 1 mana is huge. All right, cool. I guess there was the showcases this past weekend, but well, for Pioneer, I did want to mention one last stat. The top 8 was actually 4 Phoenix deck, 2 Amalia deck, a Vamps deck. The 1 Rogue deck was a Waste Not deck, and Amalia also came in 9th. So that was like, you know, not to cherry pick, but that was like another little piece of data that shows the dominance of Phoenix Amalia into lesser text Vamps. I missed registration because of Daylight Savings. I was going to play Creativity Attracts. That's been my recent pet deck. Do you do any good in Eater Showcase?
No, it was like 1-3, 0-3 in the showcases this weekend. So not the best showing.
You play Phoenix in Pioneer?
Yeah, Phoenix and Titan.
Yeah. Did you play Ashgard's main deck?
No, I skipped. Only just 1 Ashgard in the sideboard. But, you know, of course, some people right before the ban announcement were asking me if, you know, expect any changes in Pioneer. And I was just saying that, you know, even if they had any desire to change anything, I hope they reviewed my showcase performance from this weekend and made sure to not change anything, and seems like it did.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, I guess it's time to put our life on the line for those of you who don't know.
There is one more thing I need to mention. The day before the announcement, I had a dream. Or was it a nightmare? I can't really tell, but I dreamt of seeing the ban announcement and seeing that they not fully banned, but they restricted Bossedge in Modern. But not to 1 copy, to 2 copies.
That's so random.
And I got really mad at that. But then I was like, yeah, I guess it's not too bad. I guess my Titan decks usually plays three boss edges, so I'll just cut down to two. It's fine. Then I woke up and reality made much more sense than that dream. So
yeah, classic dreams makes no sense. All right. Well, this is not quite a dream, but it is theoretical. Reminder, theoretical. Life on the Line is a tournament. If you win, you live. If you lose, you die. And you have to bring a deck of the formats we've talked about this week. So it's going to be Modern and Pioneer. Canister, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you would play for your life? Right.
Modern, it's Titan, like always. And for Pioneer, you are really making me interested in trying Amalia again, so I'm going with Amalia.
All right. For Modern, I would go with... I'm in between Omnath and Gorya's Vengeance. I think I would just go with... actually, I've seen that list that looks cool. It's a new Omnath list. Well, new, quote-unquote new. It doesn't have the halflings. It has Kahira as a companion, and it plays four counterspells, two Stern Scolding, and I think maybe two Chalice in the main. Besides that, you have Omnath, Ren and Six Teferi. Kind of the usual shell was for counterspell. So I would play that in Modern. I just enjoy playing Omnath. You know, I've mostly been playing with Halfling, but I guess I would give that list a try. It's Flossing on MTGO, who's 4-0'd the last two prelims they've played. So shout out to them. Impressive. And I would try that list. I've been wanting to try a non-Halfling version of Omnath. And in Pioneer, well, Blue-Black is pretty good against Amalia and Phoenix, and you know, Passville against Vamps are male behind. So I think I would just play Blue-Black Control, even though I will say I feel like it's a much better deck in open deck list. I do feel like I kept some hands and mulliganed some hands at the PT that maybe I would have not if I didn't know what I was up against. So yeah, it's a tough one, but I guess I would stick to Blue-Black Control, even though, you know, Amalia and Phoenix are definitely just really, really strong decks. All right. Well, if you made it this far, thank you so much for listening. Canister, where can we find you?
Twitch.tv/canister_MTG. YouTube.com/canister. Right. Twitter.com/canister_MTG.
Any cool shorts recently? Any cool YouTube shorts? Are you still like on the YouTube grind?
Hadn't posted in a while, but I'm gonna come back. I'll be coming back in style in a few weeks.
Damn.
I promise.
BNR is just perfect, like shorts material. Just people love that stuff. All right. You can find me on twitch.tv/shallowat, streaming most days. You'll be able to watch me on twitch.tv/. European Tour Legacy. I forget. Legacy European Tour is the name of their channel. You'll know it'll be the most viewed channel that weekend. LMS Prague. Canister will be playing with many others. I'll be doing commentary with, I think my duo is going to be Martin Yuza. Should be a ton of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Weekend of the March 23-24. So, yeah, as always, if you made it this far, thank you so much for listening. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you all next time. Take care.
Take care.